This is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Glad to have you company again for another D Word podcast. Poetry is a subject we've featured in the past, and something that really resonates sometimes more than other forms of the written word. My guest on the podcast this week is Natalie Cormos, whose first book of poetry is called Fibres of a Memory. Well, Natalie, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the D Word as my guest. Going to be talking about the book, Fibres of Memory. But before we do, I mean, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello, Pete. Thank you very much for having me. I'm originally from Canada. I have grown up on a ginseng farm in Ontario, and I came to St. Andrews for university. I hold 2 degrees. An undergrad in biology and a master's in business. And I became fully immersed in the university and community and the town community while I was here. I competed on the polo team, ballroom and Latin dancing, kept up with the golf, of course, in our great location. And I also continued with my competitive singing. I competed since the age of 3 with singing. And that's why there's a very prominent versatility to the rhyming nature that you'll find in my book. And it relates to a lot of research with music and Alzheimer's. And I graduated from my master's in November, and I'm currently on the job hunt, hopefully something in London, but we'll see where it takes me.
Okay, and wish you good luck with that. The book, Fibres of Memory, is about dementia. I mean, you know, obviously, presumably, it was part of your studies that drew you to that subject?
Yes, it was very much. So it was greatly influenced by Professor Frank Gunmore at the University of St. Andrews and his incredible and brilliant teachings and research. And it was in his classes, and he was describing the point of a synapse, and he said, "And that is a memory." And I remember I was just, it overwhelmingly stuck with me, and is really a poignant point of inspiration for my book. But it was also, I have another dear professor, Professor Vincent Yonick, that also has greatly influenced my scientific writing and the inspiration with the science. And he does incredible research with dolphins. So it was very much kind of that intersection between his research and Professor Gunmore, with his discovery of both the amyloid-containing plaques and the neurofibrillary tau tangles found in the brains of dolphins. Of course, giving rise to the potential that they also have Alzheimer's. Although it's not known whether they experience dementia symptoms in a similar manner as humans yet.
So let's get this right. I mean, poetry is a difficult thing to do anyway. And you've combined poetry with a whole lot of science, which some people will find difficult as well. I mean, that's a pretty difficult area, isn't it, to combine poetry and, you know, that level of science.
Yes, it's really quite fun combining those two. Definitely the scientific inspiration behind the story, and then the musical nature of the rhymes.
So, you know, you're there, you're in your lecture, this thing comes to mind. How do you turn that into a book?
It's just really a spark of kind of what sticks with me. And I think that's the incredible part of teaching, on the teaching side as well. You have a lecture theater, and you're not really sure whether, one, any of the material is sticking with your students, hopefully, and two, what might become an inspiration. And that as well is really my hope for, one of my hopes for this book, is that it can provide creative inspiration, whether someone reads a line and is sparked by that, or they look at a particular image. So I really hope that it can be some creative inspiration bringing people together.
You think poetry is the real medium to do that as well?
I really enjoy it as sharing a message, and I do. I have lots of other writing of a similar manner that really they share important messages that I feel are important to share. or something that might be a comfort. But I do, I've always really loved rhyming poetry. My mom, she read quite extensively to my siblings and I when we were younger, and we're very lucky for that. And so it really, it comes from that, just sort of the musical, lyrical nature. I think it's a very striking way to share a message and to share a connection.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Have you cast your vote in the UK Health Radio Awards 2024 yet? There's still time with a whole host of categories, including the Wendy Mitchell Award for Dementia Support, where there are 8 nominees. And there's also a category for your favourite UK Health Radio show. All the details are on the website at www.ukhealthradio.com. Back to this week's guest now, Natalie Gormos. Yeah, and certainly, I mean, looking at the reviews of your book, you do that very well. It's not obviously only a book about poetry, because you've got those marvellous bits of art there that were done by Susan. I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about Susan Barish. How did you meet Susan and get her involved with the book?
Well, I was very lucky to discover her beautiful artwork, and it was over COVID, and I had this writing, so it was inspired when I was a student of Professor Gunmore. And it wasn't until later that I came across her artwork. So I reached out to all the faculties of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada and seeing who had interest in contributing to this project. And so I was contacted by Lorraine McCallum in Peterborough, and she put me in touch with Brian, Susan's husband. Now, at the time, it was a little bit difficult, because the more I learned about Susan, the more I really wanted to meet her. And she sadly passed away in 2018, so before I had a chance to meet her. But it was lovely working with Brian, and it was quite touching when he gave his reaction to my poetry. Because really, again, I've written it from a science perspective and what I understand is going on in the brain. But I've been lucky enough not to have someone immediately close to me living with Alzheimer's or dementia. So he sent me hundreds of pieces of her artwork, and I looked through and took the time seeing what really matched nicely with each part of my writing. And the picture on the cover is really quite interesting, because I chose that not knowing really anything about the piece. And Brian later told me that particular piece, his family has large scale framed in their home. So that really was quite lovely to learn.
Yeah, I was going to say to you about that. It really is striking, the cover of the book. I guess, Susan's a great example, as a lot of people I know is, that when people have a diagnosis of dementia, people tend to write them off, so they can't do things. And obviously art is a really good way for people to, still be able to express themselves.
Yes, and Susan really was an incredible beacon and advocate in her own community and so many others. She was very adamant on living with Alzheimer's. She didn't want it to be, she was someone diagnosed with it or living with a disease. She kept on living her life, and within communities, she wanted to make, and she worked to have them more dementia friendly. So having people in a community be aware of who is living with Alzheimer's and dementia, and how people can just be a little more understanding and helpful, and how they can help, whether that's maybe at a store punching in buttons when they're checking out. So she really, really is was an incredible woman, and I'm very glad to honor her artwork in my book.
Yeah, it's a great tribute to Susan's memory. One interesting thing, tell me about this. I noticed the book's only available as a physical book, and it's in large print. Why was that?
Yes, thank you for noticing that. There's many intentional features about the book. So, of course, the first, that is only available in a physical copy, that was quite important to me. I wanted something that was very easily picked up and flipped through and shared, because it really is, it's a book for everyone. This isn't just a children's book. It's not just for adults. I really wanted it easy to share. So a grandchild can sit down with a grandparent. They can open it up. They can hold on to it, look at it. There's so many things nowadays that are online. It's so lovely to have something physical. And it's also large print, and the good contrast between everything. That was important because it's any reading ages. It makes it easier to read. And the images as well, I made sure they have enhanced color, since the artwork was such a focal point of the project. And another feature as well is there's one piece of artwork that is intentionally repeated twice in the book. And to me, it almost evokes images of neurons and their structure. And so it was repeated to sort of mimic that nature and patterns of our memories and the strengthening of neural connections.
Yeah, I think it's, very striking. A lot of thought has obviously, gone into the book, into its design. I've seen a few of the reviews that you've had on some of the sites. And, I guess the reviews that you've had have been really positive. And that must be really satisfying for you.
It really is. Yes, it's wonderful to hear, whether it's been a comfort or maybe some closure, a consoling piece of art for people. And it has been, it's been heartwarming, but also heartbreaking. And a lot of people sharing their personal stories with me, and that a lot of people, they explain losing a loved one twice, once with a diagnosis and two, if they pass away. So that really, that's hard to hear, but then it's really wonderful to hear from people that they've read my book and they said they were very comforted by it. And what's really affecting so many people, it's not just the people that receive a diagnosis, but it's all the loved ones, it's caregivers. And I really hope that's where my book can come to help, is I think there's a lot out there where it's maybe a how-to book or very from a kind of black and white perspective. But I hope that this, it's just a heartwarming book and to provide comfort to everyone.
Yeah, no, I guess the other area is it's a conversation starter as well, in terms of if people look at your book, that can open up a whole kind of world of conversations that mainly, in a society where we're surrounded in very quick flashing images and Instagram posts and whatever, it's kind of nice to have something that people can sit, read, take time and start a conversation from.
Exactly. Yes, precisely. And that's why I love it's a physical book. You can pick it up. And again, coming back to synaptic connections, is that I hope this book, because of its physical nature, it helps to build and strengthen connections between people that maybe they were physically isolated or emotionally isolated. I hope that it's a good sharing platform and to open up a conversation, whether that's about maybe a grandchild's understanding a grandparent's diagnosis or what they're living through. And so it makes that conversation just a little more open, as well as discussing the science and neurobiology behind it as well. I hope that really sparks those conversations.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's something not many people do, really, is it, in terms of you tend to find, I talk to a lot of researchers on the show, and part of the problem researchers have is they do marvellous research work, but actually then putting in a format that people can really understand, and a person that's not voiced in science can really understand what's being written. I think that's a real skill, to take something very scientific and take it back to people that, have not studied science and can readily understand.
Yes, and that's what I'm excited about, and I hope that I have made Professor Gunmore proud with the inspiration with his research. And again, that's why I love the rhyming nature of it. I think it's striking and it maybe draws somebody in. But that's also where I've had difficulty in sharing this book, is that it doesn't really fit into a predetermined publishing category. And again, that I loved the whole experience. I published on Amazon, and so it's available worldwide on Amazon, because it didn't fit into one of those categories. It's not a children's book, not a poetry book. It's not necessarily, I suppose, what people might think of immediately when I say, oh, I've written a poetry book, or I've written an Alzheimer's book. So it's kind of, I guess, a standalone in its own little niche. But that's been a difficulty in getting it out there so that people know about it and they know it's available to help.
Yeah, I think that's quite sad, really, in some ways. I think some of the best works are those things that defy being categorized and do sit there on their own, because, you know, they're original and they're opening up a door to everyone that, people may not have been aware of. I mean, part of the proceeds of your book also go to future therapy programs. I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, it was very important to me that it was the therapy side, since that is what Susan did with her artwork. That was her art therapy. So part of the proceeds for all of the books sold, that goes towards further therapy programs for those with dementia. So hopefully it can be of some help that way as well.
And there is, there's a lot of really good research, isn't there, about the arts and dementia. You know, a lot of the headlines we tend to see in dementia world are around drug treatments and kind of come from a medical perspective. And I often feel, I talk to people on the show that are doing great work in the arts, and for some reason, I don't know whether you feel it, but it still seems a little bit undervalued, the effect that things like the arts can have on conditions like dementia.
I think perhaps that you're right, and it is incredibly important that we have those brilliant scientists and researchers with drug research and how we can help that way. But it is also important to remember all those other sides of it with art and music and the different ways that, exactly like Susan shows us, still living their lives. They're still people. They're living with Alzheimer's. It's not defining them. So I think it's very important to really focus on those hobbies or maybe new discoveries that they might like to try out.
And, with your cross-Atlantic perspective as such, coming from Canada in Scotland, I mean, do you notice any difference in the way that dementia is framed back in Canada, where I know they've got a very good dementia strategy, and kind of where you've been, your experience in Scotland?
I suppose from what I've experienced, it's been relatively similar. I've had experiences with interacting with people living with dementia back home here as well, and so I have felt but everyone has their own story, each person living with it. So it's I love listening to people's stories and seeing what they like to experience.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Always good to hear from you here on The D Word. And if you'd like to be my guest on one edition, do get in touch via the email tdwradio@gmail.com. Somebody who did just that was this week's guest, Natalie Gormos. And, having studied a little bit the subject, obviously having written the book, is that an area you'd look to move into? Or are you kind of, is it, well, I've written the book, met Susan, that was great, now want to get on with things? Or, what's the future hold?
quite the opposite. I think, I mean, I've always been fascinated by neurobiology and with more of a focus too into Alzheimer's, particularly with the dolphins. I find that fascinating. What we can learn from other animals as well. But I have lots of other projects that, again, they're similar like that. But who knows? I have actually considered venturing more into the neurobiology path and exploring that. But it has definitely inspired me to learn more about it, not only science, but everybody's story and experiences. So it's definitely not just on the shelf and done with. I'm excited to learn more always.
Yeah, that's very good to hear. And cause as we were saying, with, you know, meeting people like Susan, a lot of people I've met, a lot of friends I've got living with dementia, are quite inspirational and do give you a kind of different perspective on the world, I think, in terms of the way things are. I mean, research into arts therapy. Were you involved in any of that when you were doing university studies?
I was not. No, I learnt about it in different aspects, but again, with music, I've read different research and I find it fascinating where someone living with dementia, they might not be remembering faces of friends or family members, but they can sit down and play a piano piece that they learned years ago. So I think that's really an interesting avenue and another interesting connection with the poetry of my book.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it does all join together. I mean, I've known people that I'm a big music fan. I had one lady who was almost nonverbal in terms of a conversation. But if you put a Beatles song on, then she would know all the lyrics absolutely spot on. I like to think I know a lot of them, but she was way, way better than me. I think that's, you know, another area. And you know, singing, something else you said earlier that you love and you've been involved in. But opera singing, that's got to be, you go for the difficult end of the market, don't you, Natalie? First of all, we had science turned into poetry and you sing in opera as well.
Can you tell I'm the youngest of three children? Yes, my siblings and I, we all started playing piano when we were quite young. And it was actually when my music teacher noticed I was singing along to what I was playing. And so she said, well, I think she can sing. So sure enough, I focused more on my vocal training. And so I sing a lot of classical Italian opera, the Great American Songbook, but I've always sung a lot of Scottish folk songs. So Last Rose of Summer, Skyboat Song, Loch Lomond, all the lovely, lovely songs. And so it's really wonderful that I've ended up living and studying in Scotland.
Yeah, it seems to have all come together very nicely, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we are a dementia show. With just kind of finishing off on a dementia note, you know, what do you hope for? You know, you've seen your friend Susan, and she's provided, you know, marvelous artwork to your book. And what do you hope for the arts and dementia in time going on? How we kind of look at those two subjects?
Well, I really hope that my book, it can help others, and I hope it brings together a lot of different aspects. I mean, within Alzheimer's research, it is important to have, you have industry and research and healthcare and bringing all those together because it's those different perspectives. It's the different faculties that when we combine them, we really learn a lot more. And so I think combining the poetry, the artwork and science, I hope that can spark conversations, inspire creativity, and as well as always learning. So I hope that it can be a great tool to help others in that way.
Well, I think you've started it very nicely with the book, Fibers of Memory, available on Amazon and everywhere else, I guess.
Yes, on worldwide on Amazon, yes.
Excellent. Do look for it and do read it. And it's, I think, a great work. And as we said, a real great tribute to Susan's memory as well.
Thank you very much for having me, Pete.
Thanks to Natalie. You can find the book Fibres of a Memory worldwide on Amazon. Well, that's all we have time for this time around. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk here on the D Word Podcast.